To the Colleen and Bradley Show here on My Talk 107.1, streaming live, doing everything entertainment at MyTalk1071.com. Colleen Lindstrom, I'm Bradley Trainer, and, you know, we're doing some stuff.
You've got to be kidding me.
Do you know that I just went to Uganda?
I heard.
You're going to hear about some more. Okay, so, you know, Uber has been in the news lately.
Yeah, that's true.
Because their CEO stepped down. That was one story that I did see while I was in Uganda, was that the CEO decided to step down. Everybody's like, oh my God, I didn't pay attention too closely. However, I do have my own Uber story. So there's a guy that was on this trip. We went, we spent a week in Uganda, went to a refugee settlement with the people of the American Refugee Committee. It's an amazing organization, arcrelief.org. Go there, support them and all the work that they do. We went there for World Refugee Day, had a lot of fun. Cried a little bit. It was a very moving and momentous, amazing trip. That said, there was a guy that was on this trip who sometimes, you know, when you go places, luggage doesn't follow you.
Mm-hmm.
And his luggage did not arrive in Entebbe, which is the big city where the airport is. And that's where we landed. So he didn't have his stuff. Now, this guy's really cool. He does really just interesting things, like built a refugee camp in Greece. And is like really just doing some interesting things. One of the things he brought with him or wanted to bring with him to the World Refugee Day 5K, where people in a refugee camp are running a 5K, was use a drone to video.
That would have been really cool.
But that was in his luggage.
Oops.
So he didn't have it. Well, his luggage finally came in, but after everybody had already made the 5-hour trip to the settlement or the area just outside the settlement. So for him to get get back to the airport and then back, he would not have made it before the big day.
Right.
So in the morning, he's like, I got my drone. And we're all like, what?
How'd you get your drone?
How'd you do that? He called Uber. He called an Uber. Okay. What? I said.
Okay. So first question I have, can you guess?
Yeah.
What's my first question?
Oh, they have Uber in Uganda?
Thank you.
Uberganda or whatever. Like, I thought, God, I'm dumb. I just assumed that's not happening in Uganda. There's Uber. And apparently it's all over the world. And like, literally, that's kind of one of the amazing things about Uber and other countries is that it really allows people to be mobile in a way that they weren't before.
Right.
So it's kind of awesome. So, but the problem was Uber was not available in this tiny town that we were in. So long story short, I think he had to do some like, some things.
Yep.
To like get the attention of somebody who is in the city that he needed to pick up the thing at the airport. So he had to like figure out how to contact somebody that was in that city, an Uber driver, and get the Uber driver to go to the airport. And then he had to like negotiate like a way for the Uber driver to pick up somebody else's luggage, which you can imagine is not an easy task.
Right.
In Uganda, much less anywhere else. Like, hi, I just showed up. I'd like to take this person's luggage. He had to like do the thing with the thing and have a letter and had to pay a thing. Long story short, he ended up having the guy. So the guy drives 5 hours in a car to bring him his luggage. And then the guy's got to drive all the way back.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, and do you know how much I think he paid for this experience?
I can't even guess.
I mean, what would you think here you would pay somebody to travel 5 hours
like
for you to deliver something?
$1,000 at least.
Yeah, or like, I don't know, I'd say $500.
Okay.
$50.
Shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
$50 was all it cost him, and that was a lot of money. Because the average person in Uganda makes about $600 a year.
Wow.
So he made a lot of money for doing that.
Right.
But isn't that fascinating? I was like, wow, Uber in Uganda in the middle of nowhere. I mean, their technology is an amazing thing.
That is insane.
Yeah. And so then he had his drone. There are pictures from the drone. It was pretty amazing. So anyway, don't ever, when somebody says you can't do something, I don't know, you could probably do it.
Also, can I throw this in there?
Mm-hmm.
That's just a fitting reminder to everybody to make sure you have a change of underwear in your carry-on.
Oh, yeah. They told us that. So I did have an extra pair of undies and some pants and a shirt just in case.
I mean, you know, they do, you know, when you're going on a trip like you were going on, if there's an organizer, they're really pretty good about telling that.
Yeah.
If you're not going on an organized trip and you've planned by yourself, just don't forget. Just roll them up, put them in a little corner, call it a day.
Yeah. There were like three people who didn't get their luggage.
Yikes.
So it happens.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, Uber. You know, I know they've had a lot of bad press lately, but man, they're doing some stuff.
Oh, wait, can we also talk about, because you kind of talked about this very briefly on one of your audio messages that you sent back to us. Bradley, you visited the equator.
Oh, yeah. No, stopped at the equator. It's a thing. Like, literally
it's
a
real
thing.
0 degrees. Okay, Bradley Trainor straddling the hemispheres.
This is going to blow your mind, though. They have a thing there. There's a thing on the equator. There's a thing on the north of the equator and a thing on the south of the equator where they put water in it and then they put a flower in it and, like, the water spins opposite directions on either side.
Right. Didn't we always know that in Australia, the toilets flush opposite?
Well, that's what they always said. But I am convinced that this was some kind of hocus pocus magic trick, you know, like kind of tourist trap thing. But they had these like these funnels and they would put water in them. And they'd stick a flower on top and on north of the hemisphere. North of the
equator.
Equator. It would go clockwise, and south of the equator, the flower spin counterclockwise, and then directly on the equator, it didn't move.
What? How does that work?
I don't know! And I kept saying, that's not real, right? And they're all looking at me like, duh, everybody knows. And I'm like, that's what we used to tell each other, but like, how does the Earth know? And just, it's literally, they're like
that
3 feet
like
from each other.
That seems like a small thing for the Earth to be worried about. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. See,
like all over the earth, that's going to be the thing. I don't know. It was creepy. There's a restaurant that sits on the equator, so you can sit on one side if you want, or on the other side.
Did you eat at that restaurant?
No, but I had a coffee. They had a nice African coffee.
Wow.
The lady goes, I go, do you have a coffee? Can I have a black coffee? And she said, you can have an African coffee. And I was like, oh, tell me more about this African coffee.
Yeah,
she's like,
the
power's out. So it's a pour over.
Oh, but still, awesome.
Yeah. No, it was really good.
Did it take as long as it took that one time when I got a pour over at a certain place?
No, no.
This is insane.
I will tell you that Africa, where we were in Uganda, every once in a while, the power would just kind of go out for reason.
And then
it'd come back on.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway.
I am...
Equator.
Thank you. I don't even know her. Thanks for sharing that. Do you want a quick, how about I give you a quick pop culture update?
Well, yeah, because there were a lot of things that I missed out on when I was in Africa.
Yeah.
I did not know the resolution of like the Cosby thing. You told me about that.
Yep.
Beyonce's kids.
Mm-hmm.
You said you had some updates on Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah. Okay. So when you left, when you left to go to Uganda, where were we with the Bachelor in Paradise?
Bachelor in Paradise, sex scandal. That's all I knew. I don't think there was any resolution.
So they had shut down.
Yes.
And that's all you knew.
Yep.
Guess what?
What?
They're resuming filming.
Oh!
They're resuming filming.
Okay.
Now, and this is like, a lot of this is hearsay. And we still haven't gotten a lot of information about what this new filming is going to look like.
Okay.
Except for that, we know that DeMario Jackson, who was the male at the center of this sexual misconduct allegation, he will not be going. And Corinne Olympios, the female at the center of this sexual misconduct case, she apparently has been not invited to come back.
Oh.
DeMario Jackson said, you know, he's been in tons of therapy. This has been really upsetting for him. All of this happened as a result of Warner Brothers saying that they did not find any evidence of sexual misconduct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of big, right?
Kind of huge, right? So they're going to resume filming. And allegedly, I mean, it's going to be a very, very, very tight ship they're going to run. They are going to be checking, the producers will check luggage for illegal drugs before people are allowed onto the filming location. But think about this. And I thought this was really fascinating. Think about how, you know, these people all had taken their time off work, whatever. They didn't know how long they were going to be gone for. They rearranged their lives. all of a sudden they're like, shut it down, bye, and everybody packs up and goes home. And then 5 days later, they're like, JK, come back, we're going to get started again.
But there are a lot of people who won't be able to.
But didn't, no, they will be able to. Do you know why?
Why?
Because I saw the contract that they sign.
Okay.
They literally sign their lives over to Bachelor in Paradise, the production team. Everything, they're at their beck and call. They allow, like, the contract that they sign basically says that it is in the purview of the producers of Bachelor in Paradise to make them look like whatever they want them to look like. Wow. They are to
which
be
begs a question. Why would anybody
sign that? Which exactly was exactly what I asked Miss Shannon was filling in for you on that particular day. And I went through the kind of terms. I mean, literally, they can show you in various states of dress. There is legitimately a camera. You have to assume that there's a camera on you at all times. Ugh. And they can make you look like whatever they want to, whatever they want to. And you don't get to fight it. You don't get to say that was in breach of contract.
Yep.
No, that's not. And the way that they described it was this contract for Bachelor in Paradise is a one-sided contract, meaning there's no negotiation room. There's no going back to them.
Why would you do that? And I presumably you're not getting paid that much.
So that's my question. And I would say for people who maybe want fame that badly, that might make sense. But I'm thinking I can't imagine a world where I would say
that's
yes,
not fame though,
absolutely,
that's just like abuse.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's psychological torture.
Anyway, all of those people at their beck and call, all okay. those people are going to turn around and go back to Bachelor in Paradise,
wow.
And they're going to be on. I mean, they really are going to be paying close attention to how this is filmed. Meanwhile, Corinne Olympios has lawyered up, and guess who her lawyer is?
Oh, Gloria Allred's daughter.
No.
Oh. No? Who?
Marty Singer.
Wait, Marty Singer is John Travolta?
Correct.
Oh, mm-hmm. Gross. Okay.
Right?
Well, good on her. Good luck to her.
Yeah.
But presumably there's video. So.
Right, which will never be released. Yeah. They'll never see the light of day.
All right. What will see the light of day, apparently? Facebook TV? Are you going to watch it? Colleen's going to ask and tell. You're going to show and tell, I think, is what the kids
Welcome
say.
Welcome back from Uganda.
We'll be right back.
Lori and Julia.
Welcome back to the Colleen and Bradley Show here on My Talk 107.1, streaming live, doing everything entertainment at MyTalk107.1.com. Colleen Lindstrom, I'm Bradley Trainer. Facebook TV, what?
Okay, this is, when I say the words Facebook TV to you, Bradley,
yeah.
What is your first, what do you think that's, what do you think that is?
Facebook TV. I don't know, like some show about Facebook?
Okay,
what?
This is actually, the time is coming for Facebook TV. And basically what it is Facebook wanting to start their very own streaming service. Just like Hulu, just like Netflix, just like Amazon, with 100% original programming. They are trying to get into the streaming content game. And they're doing so. And this isn't just an idea anymore. This is happening.
Okay, so do you mean that it's going to appear on Facebook, or like it'll be appear on like ABC?
I'm produced so glad you said that.
Oh, okay.
It will be a separate app for your smart TV. You will have, like you have your Hulu app, like you have your Netflix app. It is app-based streaming television with original content. They've all, when I tell you that this is a thing, I mean, they have already sunk a lot of money, as high as $3 million per episode.
Oh my God.
For different concepts. One of them being, one that they've already lined up. This is a show called Strangers. It's a relationship drama. They're also lining up a game show called Last State Standing, that's done by the same producers as American Ninja Warrior.
Ooh.
Okay, so when I tell you all of that information, which is what little I have, I don't know if you'll pay for this service. Allegedly, they are not going to drop all episodes of a season at the same time, mm-hmm. like Netflix sometimes does. This is going to be a weekly engagement type release for the different programming that they have, again, on the Facebook TV app. What is your first reaction to that? Facebook entering the
well, I mean, I'm not, you know, there's a little nothing, late this to isn't, the game. It seems like exactly, everybody else has been doing this for 100 years.
Okay, that was exactly what my reaction was. Like, hey, Facebook, like TikTok, we've already been doing this streaming thing. Everybody's already settled into their streaming habits.
Yeah.
You kind of coming on the scene with this. No, I really feel like Mr. Zuckerberg, who's like amazing at innovation. I mean, he's one of the top innovators, you know, of technology right now. Maybe let's not follow what everybody else is doing.
And not only that, but they're also later in announcing this than Apple is. And you'll remember Apple just announced that they were going to do the same thing. And my thought at that time was like, hello, Apple, welcome to, you know, 2009.
Yeah, I mean, we're past this.
Yeah, we've done this. And I don't know. I mean, look, if it's an amazing show that catches sort of, you know, the world's attention, then, you know, all that'll go out the window and everybody be like, oh, that's a great idea, you guys, good job.
Here's what I will tell you, it's not for us. Facebook TV is not for us, Bradley. It's targeting audiences from the age of 13 to 34, and they're focusing specifically on the 17 to 30 year old range.
Okay, so it's going to be very fast paced.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of, you know.
You know what I originally thought when I saw this headline, Facebook TV?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like TV shows based on what happens on Facebook.
I mean, that's what it should be.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, for example, it would be like somebody, a scene where somebody's like talking about what they had for dinner, maybe. And then people would comment on it.
Nobody would watch that, though. Nobody wants that now on Facebook.
I mean, maybe it's just about getting back to being social beings and talking face to face. Right? Like,
well, you're not face to face on Facebook, though. That's kind of a misnomer.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, you're basically sitting in the middle of the night in your bed
scrolling,
trying to craft like a witty response to somebody's asinine comments about something they know nothing about.
This is true.
Yeah. As evidenced by,
which actually I think
90% of what's on Facebook right now
be kind of a fun TV show.
Yeah, well,
maybe
might want to go work for them.
Maybe they should. Maybe we should write our own Facebook TV show and see if they pick it up.
All right, let's.
And
do
that's
it.
How we make our millions.
Okay,
you want to do it?
Oh yeah, let's just write a show.
Sure, well, it can't be that hard.
Oh, okay. I mean, no. I think you were absolutely right. You're onto something.
Okay,
stick a pin in that.
Done and done. I will stick a pin in that. Hey, before we go any further, can I just give people a couple heads up on things that are happening around the station?
Yes.
One of them is that we need to remind people that Cat Video Festival is coming up. And not only is Cat Video Festival coming up, tickets are on sale. It is on August 8th at CHS Field. This is again presented by My Talk 107.1 and the St. Paul Saints teaming up to host the Cat Video Festival, presented by First Equity and Luther Nissan Kia of Inver Grove. Those tickets are on sale now, and you can find out more at mytalk1071.com, keyword cat. And by the way, you know, we always do this to benefit a charity, and this year it's Home for Life.
Oh, what's Home for Life?
Thank you for asking. It's a charity that benefits cats.
Oh, okay. So Cat Charity, Cat Fun, August 8th. That's a Tuesday night, CHS Field. You can get your tickets now if you've not done so already. And we did have a blast last year. So
it's so fun.
If you want just a fun night out, and CHS Field is just a fun place to, you know, bebop around and watch cat videos.
And I have on good authority, there will be fireworks.
And cats. Lots of
videos.
Cat
videos.
Not live cats.
Yeah. And there's a
live
couple.
Live cats don't socialize.
Leave your cats at home, please. Although I will tell you, Bradley, a girlfriend of mine for my birthday got me a hoodie with a big pocket that I can put my cats
in.
Nope.
Don't do that. Cats hate that. Cats are not kangaroos, Kelly. Cats don't like to be
held.
But
I am. I'm a kangaroo, and I want my cat in my pocket, in my pouch.
Nope. You have nature's pouch, and ain't nothing supposed to go in there. Okay, I'm gonna walk away from that.
Crazy stupid idiots next.
Hey, that's appropriate. We'll be right back.
My talk that tasted you.
Welcome back the Colleen and Bradley Show here on My Talk 107.1. We're streaming live, doing everything entertainment at MyTalk1071.com. Colleen Lindstrom, I'm Bradley Trainer, and it's now time for some dumb heads in the form of crazy, stupid idiots.
Well then, I guess one could say that's a crazy, stupid idiot.
Yeah! Colleen and Bradley present CSI.
It stands for crazy, stupid idiots.
It sure does. Why? Well, because the world is full of crazy, stupid idiots. Dumb people doing dumb things repeatedly over and over again, oftentimes in the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where we're going this time.
Where are we going?
We are going to a place in Pennsylvania. Some people say Wilkes-Barre. Some people say Wilkes-Barre. It looks like bear or bar. Burr. Barray. Anyway, we're going to Kirby Park.
What are you doing over there?
Barray. Chantay. We're going to Kirby Park. It's around 7:45 in the p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, look at that. A male and a female engaging in the whoopee making.
Mm.
Yes. Or no?
Right there in the park.
Right there in the park. And oh, by the way, they're near a playground.
Ew. Negative.
Well, I mean, really, is there a positive ever?
No, you're
like,
right.
Just a park. I'm going to get it on. I'm going to have some fun.
Here's what I get. I understand that.
Nature just makes me randy.
I understand that sometimes the threat of getting caught can just be so exciting. I get that. But not next to a playground.
No,
I mean, come on.
I'm like the kind of person that, like, I make sure all the windows are closed. There's some music playing. You put on a fan. I mean, you know. Okay.
Everybody's blindfolded.
Well,
there are snacks.
Everybody? How many people are there? But in this case, we're talking about 31-year-old Jackie Getz.
She was getting some.
And 90. 29-year-old Kyle McClure. According to several witnesses, they were, quote, having the interstate. And with both, oh my God. Okay. What is digit?
Oh, don't.
But like, you know, on your phone.
Yeah. I'm just waving at you. That's all I'm doing right now.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
That was happening.
Okay.
Several hundred people were in attendance for their amorous antiques or antics. Look at this lamb. No, their amorous antics attracted the audience of several hundred people, including many children.
At what point do you stop when you realize,
hey, I think some people like an audience. I think some people just like an audience. You know what I mean?
Okay. How old were they again?
29 and 94.
Old enough. No, stop.
31 and 29.
Okay. So old enough to know better.
Yes. In addition to the live CES show, there are some tennis and volleyball courts, a fitness trail, walking paths, and a pad.
Okay.
Yeah. They also have a very nice 4th of July ceremony.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Were there drugs or alcohol involved?
No word. But they were arrested for lewdness.
Do they have a home where they could be doing that stuff?
I don't know.
I'm just wondering, because I think those things sometimes play a role.
Yeah.
With the role playing.
I was going to say they were role playing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's go to Florida. Let's go to Florida. Do you want to go to Florida?
Let's go to Florida.
That seems like a good place to go.
Mm-hmm.
Florida is a place where a lot of retirees retire, right? And they retire into retirement villages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh.
Very often.
Very nice. I wouldn't mind doing that myself.
Well, doesn't that sound lovely?
Right?
Well, it's rare that something like this occurs in said villages.
Something like what?
Something like what I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
There was a report made about some antics occurring at this particular house in the, not those antics.
Oh, okay.
No. They had heard that perhaps there was some illegal activity taking place. In other words, an elderly man who owned a home in this particular retirement village had a niece who moved in, and she brought some other friends of hers, and they it was thought that they were engaging in illegal activity.
Okay.
Well, they did a search of the home, and what they found was that, yes, indeed, the niece and her friends were up to no good. And part of that no good was kind of garden variety. It's not great, but they had an active meth lab.
Oh, no big deal. It was just a meth lab.
I mean, it's not good.
It's just not out of the ordinary.
It's just, I mean, there's meth labs, yeah. Right? But what really makes them, and that's crazy, stupid, Indian enough for this, but it needed a little extra sparkle, right? So yeah. Not only did they find an active meth lab in this home, they also found a chop shop.
What is that, like car parts?
Yeah, except for this chop shop was not for car parts. It was for...
people?
No. Oh my gosh. No. Golf carts. They were operating.
That is totally appropriate for the location, though. Trust me when I tell you.
They were operating a golf cart chop shop
out
of the meth lab.
I have to get my mom a heads up because she got one of those, and I'm afraid somebody might be giving her stolen parts.
Yeah. So, like, they literally were stealing golf carts and then taking them apart and parsing off the extra parts to people who needed them to repair their golf carts.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy?
It's kind of hilarious, actually.
Several people have been taken into custody.
Are the senior citizens doing meth? I mean, who's doing meth out in Coral Gables?
Remember, it was the niece that was... So it was a younger niece who was cooking meth with her friends.
Okay.
Like, my kids cook, like, bake cakes.
Yeah.
Perfectly legal. Yeah. They're not cooking
unless
meth.
Unless it's a meth cake.
Okay, my kid, thank you. My children don't make meth cakes.
That's good.
Anyway, they've been arrested.
Good for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, not good on, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're in jail. All right, if you're just joining us, Colleen and Bradley here on My Talk 107.1, Crazy Stupid Idiots from Florida to Montana.
Oh.
I feel like we've not been to Montana for a while.
I feel like we've never been to Montana.
Here's a way to get out of jury duty. So this guy tries to get out of jury duty. He's 36 years old. His name is Eric Sly. And apparently got a jury notice earlier this year. But he wanted to be ex-squeezed or excused, as the kids say.
From the jury duty.
From the district court panel in Gallatin County that he'd been asked to serve on.
Okay.
He submitted this affidavit, which apparently had been prepared with help from his wife, Jennifer.
Okay.
So Mr. and Mrs. Sly composed the following affidavit requesting, what is a common reason for getting out of jury duty?
You're a criminal?
No, but it's more like I'm a
dying
neurosurgeon and I can't.
Surgery.
I have surgery, mm-hmm. Right? Or I have no legs and I can't make it to the courthouse.
No, I'm pretty sure they'll let legless people serve on the jury.
I was just trying to throw something out
there.
Okay. Two examples is always better than one.
That wouldn't work.
So here's what he says. I, Eric Anthony Sly, being first duly sworn upon oath, blah, blah, blah. Here's the part that he filled in. And this was really from his wife.
Okay.
Apparently you morons didn't understand me the first time. I, all caps, cannot take time off from work. I'm not putting my family's well-being at stake to participate on this crap. I don't believe in our, quote, justice system, and I don't want to have a GD thing to do with it. Jury duty is a complete waste of time. I would rather count the wrinkles on my dog's bits than sit on a jury. Get it through your thick skulls. Leave me the bleep alone. And he signed it and had it notarized and sent to the courthouse. And what do you think he did?
He probably had to show up on the jury.
Well, he was summoned to the court.
Yeah.
You might find that not surprising.
Turns out all the people who he was going to be serving on the jury with were suddenly serving on his jury.
No, the judge did threaten to jail him. Then he was summoned to court. Sly apologized for the affidavit and avoided being cited a criminal failure to appear. He did also get excused from serving on the jury. So it worked.
But can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Did he then instead stay at home and count the wrinkles?
How many wrinkles is that?
Bits.
And who uses that as a euphemism. I'm going to start.
I do feel like that
I'm going to sit at home and count the wrinkles on my dog's bits.
That, to me, felt like the most creative part of that that whole letter.
But I just love the apparently you morons didn't understand me the first time.
I feel like if you really grease the wheels a little bit before you drop the moron in there.
Yeah, I want to respond to all things in my life. Like, okay, you morons, apparently you didn't hear me the first time. Could you talk to your children that way from now on? The first time the next time they don't respond.
Can you imagine?
Oh. Apparently you morons didn't hear me the first time.
Actually, I feel like they talk to me like that. Like they think I'm the moron.
Yeah, well.
Stop.
No, I didn't say you were a moron.
Okay.
I didn't say anything.
I was reading a tone.
Oh, I got a tone for you. We got to go. Oh, I can't hear myself. Where to go? Where am I?
At work. You're home from Uganda.
Hello?
Welcome back, Bradley. Okay. Now we're going to go to break.
I literally can't hear anything, so I'm going to let you
take
us out.
We're going to go to break. We'll be back, and we've got your questions for Bradley after Uganda, after this on My Talk 107.1.
Previously on Jason.
Was the prototype like three stacks on that CD?
Welcome back to the Colleen and Bradley Show here on My Talk 107.1. We're streaming live and doing everything entertainment at MyTalk1071.com. Colleen Lindstrom, I'm Bradley Trainer, and it's now time for us to head over to our Facebook page where we're going to read through your answers to our daily snap jugement. What was the question we asked our listeners today, Colleen?
You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah. No, I was in Uganda for a week.
Yeah. And so, thus, the question was, do you have any questions for Bradley about his trip to Uganda?
Do you have any questions for me?
I think the bigger question is, do you have any answers, Bradley?
Well, I hope so, because I didn't prepare anything.
All right. Ready? Here we go. Colleen said, will you go back? And if so, what would be your role or mission?
Oh, well, that's a great question.
That's a thoughtful question.
Thank you, ma'am. I would love to go back. In fact, I don't know if they're planning on doing this event again next year, but I would certainly love to go. And my mission would be just to do more of what I did last time, which was just soak it up like a sponge and spread the word about all the good news coming out of Uganda, specifically at the Nakivale refugee settlement.
Taylor said, what was the best part? And then Taylor said, probably everything.
Yeah, so best part, I would say, for me, was just the people. I know that's such a throwaway thing to say, because it sounds so vague and generic, but it really is true. Like, literally, both the volunteers, the staff of ARC, the donors that were on the ride, or on the trip as well, and then literally the refugees themselves. I can't think of anybody I was like, oh, I hate you. I can't stand you. In the work that we do, Colleen, on a regular basis, I say that daily.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly about Justin Bieber and Kim Kardashian.
True.
But on this trip, it was really the people.
You know, one of the things that you've said that I've heard you say on numerous occasions that I think is a good takeaway or a good reminder for people is you've mentioned before, you know, those people who are in those refugee settlements are there because for a number of different reasons, they've felt it necessary to flee their home countries.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you think about what it would be like as a person here, mm-hmm. to decide that it was so bad that you needed to pick up everything and go away from your homeland, away from your family, away from your friends, away from everything you know, and kind of uproot yourself and resettle in a place where you are starting from scratch. But these people were the happiest people, you said.
Yeah, well, they were able to find... I don't want to say they were happy because I didn't walk in their shoes, but from the outward appearances that I observed, it appeared to me that these were people with a lot of hope when you would think that there would be very little hope.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think, was very encouraging for me, is to see that, you know, we went to a school and they were like, we're just going to sneak in and give you a quick tour of the school and then we want to show you something and then blah, blah, and then maybe we'll come back to the school. Well, like literally we're walking up to the school. We see like one kid come to the fence, another kid come to the gate, And then literally there were like 1,000 kids because they saw us and they were just like, oh my God. And they were screaming and yelling and dancing and singing and surrounded us. And, you know, it was unreal.
So cool.
These kids were, you know, they were curious.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. Like we're, that's the other thing is I don't think we're very curious.
Mm-mm.
You and I are very curious people.
Right.
Because, you know, we're curious about Kim Kardashian. And
yeah, but I would say that Americans are typically more suspect than they are curious.
Yeah, like they don't approach strangers with smiles and outstretched mm-hmm. hands very
no,
often.
No, typically Americans approach strangers with an air of, what business do you have here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
Raleigh said, well, how was the food in Uganda, Bradley?
Great question, Raleigh. It was very plain. It was very basic. Not a lot of flavor. But I will say that I did fall in love with they call peanuts ground nuts. I don't know if those are the same thing, but my impression was they were the same thing as peanuts
because
mm-hmm. peanuts grow on the ground, mm-hmm. right? Anyway, they make like a sauce out of peanuts and then they pour that on like rice and beans.
Ooh, it was really good.
It was really good.
I
you had to
you
add salt
that.
And pepper though.
Jean said, my niece lived there for a month with a family in their hut. They said that they may be the poorest country in the world, but the happiest. Have you evaluated your material possessions and thought about giving anything away? Have your thoughts changed? I don't know what they were about money buying happiness.
Yeah, I did think about like I waste a lot of money on nothing. And now when I buy something, I'm going to be like Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
Uganda. Do you know they live on about, I think if I remember correctly, and this is not refugees, this is the people of Uganda,
mm-hmm.
which is the other huge, amazing takeaway. Think about this. The average Ugandan, not refugee, like citizen, mm-hmm. makes, I think, if I remember correctly, about $600 and some odd a year.
It's insane.
Okay. They have welcomed over 1 million refugees into their country.
Right.
Who basically have even less than they do.
Right.
And it's not that they're all like singing and dancing and no problems, but they have a plan to like do some stuff.
Yeah.
Which is really fascinating because when I look around here, you would think that I just don't think we're kind of in that same mindset. So that did strike me as very pretty awesome for the people of Uganda.
Yeah. Susan wanted to know, how did you do in the 5K, Bradley?
Oh, that's a great question. Thanks for asking. It was actually more about like a 6-point-something K because they screwed us on that mileage business. It was a lot longer than they advertised. But I finished. And you know what the really cool thing was? I'm running along with my friend Kathy. She started going faster than me because she runs. Mm-hmm. I don't. So all of a sudden, there I am, literally listening to this.
Were you seriously while you were running?
No, but it was in my head because I'm in Africa, running through the plains of Africa. I'm by myself just like, you can do this. You can do this. You can make it. You can make it. There's a cow over there. That's weird.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome.
I'm alone. And 2 refugees sidle up to me and finish the race with me. They literally kept pace with me the whole time. If I slowed down, they slowed down. If I stopped, they stopped. If I went faster, they went faster.
So cool.
Oh my God. And then I thanked them at the end of the experience. They didn't speak English, so I don't know. They were probably like, sir, you dropped something.
Okay.
They were trying to chase me.
Actually, I think that's a good segue to this question, which is, by the way, Donnie's here. Donnie, feel free to pop in if you've got any questions for Bradley about Uganda. But we did have a couple people ask, what language do they speak there?
That's a great question. And off the top of my head, some people speak English. There's Kiswahili, mm-hmm. which I need to figure out if that's, I think that's the same thing as Swahili, but Kiswahili, and then some other stuff.
Okay. But did anybody speak English? So, or did you find that there really was a true language barrier?
No. And French too. They're English. So like at the hotel and stuff, they all spoke English.
Mm-hmm.
These are, again, it's a little different because, they're the Ugandan people
mm-hmm.
and then the refugees.
Mm-hmm.
The refugees come from all over, so they spoke a dozen different languages.
Sure.
But the average Ugandan that we had to communicate with spoke enough English that we could communicate.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah.
Donnie, did you have any questions?
Did you see a hippopotamus?
Yes! Thank you for asking.
He shows me this picture yesterday. And I'm like, I'm terrible. When he quizzes me, I never get the answer right. So he shows me this beautiful picture of this like lovely body of water. And there's these little like things just sort of sticking out of the water. And he says, do you know what those are?
What did you say?
I was like, are they bodies? I didn't know.
Bodies?
I didn't know. They were hippos.
Yeah, no. And in fact, we were at Lake Mamburo. And there were a bunch of hippos just hanging out in the lake. Turns out they don't come out of the water until like nighttime because it's a little, or dusk really, because it's just too hot for them. Their skin can't handle all the heat. So they just like putz around
in the
water.
Probably
get sunburned.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know the feeling.
Also, the language, I forgot this. One of their Bantu languages, and one of the languages that they spoke where we were is called Luganda.
Mm.
In Uganda, they speak Luganda.
Interesting.
Kind of nice, right?
What is the... You have a bracelet that you're wearing that has a word on it?
Do you want me to tell you the Mazungu?
Yeah.
Ever heard that word?
No.
Either of you?
Mazungu. When you just said it.
So we're running along again. Oh, give me my secret powers back. I'm running the 5K in Africa through the refugee camp, and I keep hearing, Mazungu!
And
how
you think
are
saying,
you?
Go!
Mazungu!
Go.
Mazungu! No, Mazungu means white person.
Oh. Oh,
that's nice.
So all the kids are yelling at me, white person, how are you? So I would just wave and be like, I'm good, how are you? And they would just say, Mazungu, how are you? And we keep doing that over and over again.
That's awesome.
So I have a bracelet that says Mazungu.
All right, good job.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, use it in a sentence today. Mazungu.
Thanks. Where are all the Mazungu at?
We'll find out. Lori and Julie is up next.
Everything.
Sweep the leg.
Those two Mazungus.